It was just an ordinary day. You wake up and carry on with your responsibilities. But about 9 o'clock, the phone rang, and it wasn't a nurse or a secretary, but it was the doctor himself, to indicate that there would be a life-changing experience for the woman on the other end of the line. When he used the word melanoma, that carried with it a lot of baggage. Family and friends have responded so graciously. Thankfully, instead of 2 surgeries, it was just 1, did not have to remove the lymph nodes. And God has been so good to allow healing to continue. And especially I want to say to you folk, because I know so many of you put me on your prayer list, thank you very, very much. God answers prayer. Old hymn goes, telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line, built by God the Father for His love to know. When you get in trouble, ring the loyal telephone. Some of us can remember the old-fashioned ones as well. Time. Greeks and Romans had a debate. One said it was a circle, one said it was a line. But each of us has 24 hours, as God graciously gives us today. I was called to a pastor of church and followed a man who made it his practice to come to church when the people came. In fact, he often came after the people were already there. And I'm sure that he never learned the precept. People who are usually late seldom catch up. Then I was followed by an individual at one church who decided instead of 30 or 35 minutes, he'd add another 40 or 45 minutes to the total that was already there. One man, a doctor, spoke to me privately a year or two later, and he said, Pastor Colas, when it gets 12 o'clock, my mind goes to our home in Oahu in Hawaii, or our ranch in Cortez. But I'm telling you, it's no longer in church. Now, Dr. Ketchum, who was a hero of mine, could preach an hour and a half, and you really did not recognize it to be that period of time. Sometimes he'd say, I feel a long one coming on and go 2 hours. But we aren't Dr. Ketchum, and so indeed we recognize that time is important. So that tonight is my subject that goes like this. Never late, but always on time. Will you turn to the Gospel of John, please, in chapter 11. I'll read the first 15 verses, please. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in you. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Let's pray. Thank you for the Christ-honoring music we have appreciated tonight and in this conference, and for the reminders of the importance of your word and the requirements you place upon us to obey, which is better than sacrifice. So write upon our minds and hearts any precepts and principles that we need as we go day by day during the time you graciously grant to us. We thank you for each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Old hymn of the church goes words like this. God's way is the best way, though I may not see. Why sorrows and trials oft gather round me? He ever is seeking my goal to refine. So humbly I trust him, my Savior divine. Isaiah 55 reminds us that our thoughts are not like his thoughts, nor are our ways his ways. Phil was telling me tonight about the wonderful family God has given them, and I was in a home on the Lord's Day when I was out preaching, and they have five children. Two of the children are left-handed. We call them southpaws. The other children are not. The diversity in the home, other kinds of diversity as well. But then when I think of this home in Bethany, the diversity is obvious. Who lived there? One was Martha. Martha was a server, pragmatic and practical, businesslike. We would observe that she was thoughtful of those who were under her care, especially the Lord Jesus. We could maybe describe her as the hostess with the mostest. Not a lazy bone in her body. You know, she was a server. Thank God for servers. People who, when the piano is to be moved, will say, yes, I want to help, I'll carry, you know, the bench. No, there are those who are always ready to serve. Luke 10 tells of a time when she was frustrated as she was cooking without a microwave, without a gas or electric stove. So she asked the Lord to rebuke her sister, what Martha must have considered to be outright laziness. But Martha was a worker. She was a server. She was part of that family in Bethany. The second was Mary. Mary was gifted with a woman's delicacy of insight, tender sympathy, and saw the need of something beyond the physical, the spiritual. She chose to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear his word, and to hear the Lord say, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. There are three words that begin with the letter D I would seek to underline if I may tonight. There's a delay and a demand and a delight. The delay. There was a third person in that home by the name of Lazarus. I'm sure many of you have been to Israel, and if you have, no doubt been to Bethany. There's a church at that location where they say was the home. And after you have visited the church, you go around, and there is a place where they call the tomb, where he was buried. I'm not sure it is exactly that, but that is the place of Bethany. It would seem that Lazarus was a man of few words, quiet and unobtrusive. But when we enter this chapter, he was sick. Jesus loved this man, but he was still a man who experienced the pressures and the trials of life. How proud we would be if we never experienced the hardships, the tests, the trials of life. So the sisters do something about it. They sent a messenger to the Lord Jesus, and I notice how carefully there in verse 3 the message goes. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Maybe we would think it surely Mary and Martha would conclude, well, the Savior would drop everything that he was doing and pick up because he would have to rush to the scene of his dear friend. For if Jesus came, then they would not have to watch Lazarus take his last breath. Then they would wrap his body with grave clothes and they would place the corpse in a tomb. But Jesus delayed not because he did not love, but because he did love. I am thankful for the calamities that the Lord has brought into my life, but, and a big but there, that was from hindsight. Not easy at the time. Trials, disappointments, discouragements, all of these things help us from being proud or haughty, selfish, conceited, and self-sufficient. He's teaching us his ways and his will. His ways, his will. A little girl, on the occasion of her birthday, received a gift from her grandmother. It was a pin cushion. God graciously gave to Alice and me a daughter. We have two daughters-in-law. We have three granddaughters and two great-granddaughters. I say all of that to conclude that I don't think any of them would have, you know, been very, very pleased to receive on the occasion of the birthday a pin cushion. So probably because she was encouraged by her parents, she sent to her grandmother a thank you note. It went like this. Dear Grandma, thank you for the pin cushion. I've always wanted a pin cushion, but not very much. Love, your granddaughter. If we wrote a letter to our Heavenly Father, would we say, Dear Father, thank you for your will for my life. I've always wanted your will for my life, but not very much. For afflictions come. Speaking Sunday to a friend of ours, whose husband went home to be with the Lord after being sick with cancer 6 weeks. I had been with him at a men's retreat and had some quality time with him, not even knowing that next week they would find the cancer, and in 6 weeks, he'd be ushered into the presence of the Lord. But, you know, he was only 54. Now, I know to you young people, that seems to be old, but not to us who are older. 54, but taken. And oh, so quickly. What do we do when the bubble bursts? What do we do when our little world collapses? What do we do when it seems like the sky is falling? We ought to do as Martha and Mary did. Number one, they brought the problem to Jesus. pain can drive us to the Lord. And pain can drive us to our knees, which places us in a wonderful position to pray. Problems arose as we see them through the Word of God. There was a problem of shortage of food. And they brought the problem to Jesus. There was a problem of wine at a wedding. And they brought the problem to Jesus. There was a shortage of health. And they brought the problem to Jesus. And here there was a shortage of life. They brought the problem to Jesus. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. David learned that God was his rock, his fortress, his strength, his defense. When did he learn that? When he was hunted and hounded by an enemy. They did not say, "Lord, what should we do? What medicine would you recommend? Send us back a note what we should do." No, that's not what they did. They just said, "He's sick." The disciples on a storm-swept sea were concerned whether or not they would survive. You know, in actuality, if the water had been 6 feet deep in that boat, God would have brought them right through it. And they learned indeed what a wonderful, marvelous person and what great power he had by the storm and the quieting of the wind and the waves. Mary and Martha came to learn that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Yea, they're dead, yet shall they live again. So they brought the problem to Jesus. The basis of their appeal, it wasn't, do you remember the good meals we prepared there in the home? Or as we'd say today, who bought the coffee the last time? No, it wasn't either. You remember we provide a place for you to sleep. The basis of their appeal was on the fact that he loved them. And so it is with us. We're saying around here, "Brother," that's fine, because actually it's not our ordination certificates on the wall or our degrees that we may have. It's not our nationality. It's not where we were born. It's not the color of our skin. The basis is God's love for us. It's stated here several times. I have the words underlined in my Bible. In verse 3, they said, "Behold, whom thou lovest is sick." Then there's also in verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha, your sister, and Lazarus. Verse 36 as well reminds us, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved them." I don't remember the name of a fine servant of the Lord on his deathbed said this. I can only remember two things that are really important. I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. That's an aircraft carrier of truth in a rowboat of words. When we think about that, I'm a great sinner, but he's a great Savior. Jesus delayed. That's the word. He didn't rush. I don't read where he even jogged. If tonight we received a message from a loved one, someone like that, that so-and-so was critically ill or accident or whatever it might be, no doubt immediately we'd make arrangements to change plans. We'd make arrangements to get there as fast as we could. But Christ delayed. Certainly not because he was indifferent. Neither was it that he was preoccupied with other things. For he's interested in every one of us. And those weights are weights of love and wisdom. And his wants are always full of purpose. The will of God is good and acceptable. And I'm learning that more in my 80s than I ever knew at a younger age. Indeed. He wants me and he wants you to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. To be like him. How easy it is for us to interpret the love of God by our circumstances. We should interpret, rather, our circumstances by the love of God. God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. Well, pastoring back in Waterloo years ago, it was Saturday night, the phone rang late. And Janet Hickman, some folk in this room would know the Hickman family. Janet Hickman called me and said that her husband's brother, Jack's brother, had been in a fire and was severely burned. They had taken him over to Shoreditch Hospital. That brother, I remember several times when I saw him, he came from a wonderful mother, godly mother. Pearl Hickman, on her deathbed, encouraged 50-some people to come on a special Sunday that we have at Hagerman. But when I would see this brother, usually it was not with a can of beer, but he wasn't satisfied with one. He had one in each hand. And so he had come home late there and drunk. And they made him sleep in the greenhouse that they had. They raised plants and flowers and things of that sort. And somehow in his drunken stupor, he knocked something over and fire took place and he was severely burned. I got to the hospital. Jack and Janet were there. And this fellow was there in the emergency room. They'd already given him some medication and sedation and they had called the doctor. And I remember standing there with Janet and she was very concerned about the doctor didn't come. Well, he was like the preacher, had been called out of bed, I'm sure. But, when's he going to come? When's he going to come? Why didn't he hurry up? Doesn't he realize this? And, she was very frustrated. And I remember when he came in, he was dressed in street clothes and he just walked over and took a look at the guy lying there on a cart. Bed. And then he went over, took off his clothes, scrubbed up, put on a gown, put on the latex gloves, and got a scalpel. And I stood there as I watched as he took that scalpel and cut off that black, burned skin. When he arrived, he knew what he was doing. He hadn't been in a hurry. But he was there taking care of it and worked decisively. God moves when it's the right time to move. Favorite verses of mine are found in Psalm 147. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars and calleth them all by their name. Continues, great is the Lord and of great understanding. A delay. When he heard that, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. That brings me to my second, and that is the demand. We have come down further in this chapter, and I begin to read. In verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, here's the demand, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by the time he stinketh, this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Even the mysterious avenue and domain of the grave had to bow obediently before the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus was dead, no doubt about that, no pretense. I covered a Signs and Wonders meeting near St. Louis a few years ago, and the prophet there had been saying, we're going to teach you how to raise the dead and do all the other wonders that they supposedly do. And, you know, he kept putting it off at last meeting. And I had a chance at a coffee break to walk to him, and I said, have you raised anyone from the dead? Oh, yes, he said, but overseas. I said, well, how long did they live after you raised them from the dead? Well, he said the longest was 10 minutes. We look at Lazarus dead 4 days without any embalming fluid whatsoever. But the demand is made, Lazarus comes forth, and nothing happens except that someone comes out of the grave. He's alive. Isn't it wonderful how our Lord will take someone who has to come out of sorrow, darkness, and night into Christ's freedom, gladness, and light. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, into the joy and light of thy home. In a spiritual sense, there are those finding new life in Christ. And this man was bound when he came forth, and our Savior said, loose him and let him go. And those relieved to Christ may still be carrying with them fear, pride, pleasures, old habits that are broken. But lives are changed and homes rearranged because of life and liberty found in Christ. John Peterson put it well. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Lazarus, come forth, the demand. There's a delay, and there's a demand. One more. Turn over a page, please, to chapter 12. There's a delight. First one, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. against the day of my burying have she kept his. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because many of the put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. The scene has changed. And now we look at that first person of the three, Martha. She is serving, verse 2. Surely it was with joy. It's not always easy to serve the Lord. You know, I have pastors say something like this, well, preacher, in our community, there seems like there are only Roman Catholics and Lutherans, and sometimes Lutherans are harder to reach for the Lord than some Roman Catholics. And there are even Muslims here, and it's just a very, very difficult place. And that, I'm sure, is true. But in those spots, there are those who are being made alive by God's grace from spiritual death. So we ought to serve with joy. Martha served. And then we see Mary, the second person, in verse 3, pours out the precious ointment and does it with joy. We can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. There was a man called, noted the son of consolation in the book of Acts, Barnabas by name. And Barnabas had a piece of property, and he sold it, and he gave it to the church, really. He didn't have to do that, but there was a willingness to do that without a lot of high-pressure tactics, indeed. What an example, and what a wonderful Bible character to preach in Stewardship Month, or any time. A lot of good things we can say about Barnabas. But the word spread, and Ananias and Sapphira decided they'd join the company and do the same. Oh, but they didn't do what Barnabas had done. Actually, as Peter reminded them, you didn't have to do any of this. And it wasn't wrong that you only gave part of it. But it was wrong when you pretended that the part was the whole. You lie to the Holy Ghost. That was a pretense of serving. Contrast that with Barnabas. Mary generously pours out this spikenard. Very costly. But it's a time of delight. Martha served. Mary gave. And then there's Lazarus. Somebody has the sermon title, From a Decaying Corpse to a Dinner Guest. Right on. Once dead and now alive. He was a convincing witness to the power of Christ, to the degree that some wanted to put Lazarus to death because people were believing on Jesus. Sort of like, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And it's a great and wonderful blessing to see men and women and young people finding new life in Christ. I don't know where you are tonight, but delays do come. They can be so troubling, so frustrating, so upsetting. But could we keep in mind, there's that word guidance. God may delay in opening a door. I referred to him earlier because he was a blessing to me in many ways. This is a solid separatist and once president of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Robert T. Ketchum. But I remember his advice to me when we were waiting and seeking what God had for us coming out of seminary. He said, rattle those doorknobs. If it opens, go in. If it doesn't, stay out. And sometimes for folk, it's very difficult to wait. A door, the green light. It may be for a church ministry. It could be a mission field. It could be a school. But God's delays are for a purpose. Now let me add in here quickly, God can, the Lord can respond very quickly. If there had been a long delay when Peter stepped out of the boat and started to sink, there had been a different account in the Word of God, would there not? So he says, Lord, save me, and the Lord immediately reached out his hand and held him there and brought him into the boat. But God does delay, but they're for a purpose. And then, last but not least, God also at times changes our circumstances. So will you turn back to chapter 11? I'm going to read between verse 4 and verse 6 these words. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 5 is between verse 4 and verse 6. Now Jesus loved. God's way is the best way. My path He has planned. I'll trust in Him always while holding His hand. In shadow or sunshine, He ever is near. With Him as my refuge, I never need fear. God's way is the best way. God's way is the right way. I'll trust in Him always. He knoweth the best. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, may we ever remember, God is never late, but He's always on time. Let's pray.